Well, isn't it wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord this morning? Praise God. It's refreshing to be in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? Are you refreshed when you're in the presence of the Lord? I tell you. Well, praise God. Here, did you see I got them handrails up? I'm about a week late, but I'm... Love you, man. It's good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just say this. Our kids and our middle schoolers can be dismissed for Children's Church. And praise the Lord. There goes half the church. And there goes the church, huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, praise God. Thank God for the teachers. And praise the Lord. So... Well, I appreciate you all being here this morning. Praise the Lord, in the presence of God. And I tell you, we just appreciate your faithfulness. And the Lord has given me a message because he wanted to. I want to share with you. I got to just do a little recap. If you would, because as I pray and seek the Lord, I know by God and I know also by the culture and the times and the seasons that we live in, a lot of people don't know what to do. They don't know, you know, we got so many uncertainties now in about everything. You know, some of you may even have some uncertainties about your own marriage right now. Everything is under attack. Principalities and powers, you know, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And so, you know, you may find you're struggling more now than you ever struggled in your life with all kinds of things. You may be struggling with some things you never struggled with before, and you wonder, what in the world? I thought I was way past this. What am I doing? But I just tell you this. You know, last week, the Lord really stirred my heart and spoke to me about two things that he wanted, and one was that we look upward. And I talked about that, and we read some scriptures about looking upward. The other thing was about looking inward, and so I, you know, shared some scriptures with you about looking inward. The reason that you need to look upward and inward is because God's going to help you be able to navigate what's going on in the world. Now, it doesn't matter what we're talking about, but I just tell you, a lot of you maybe feel like you're overwhelmed because you just don't know how to navigate. Well, how do you navigate unnavigatable waters? How do you reason with unreasonable people? I mean, you need God, don't you? We need God. We need wisdom from God. We need some understanding, and we need to know how to apply it. And so, I just want to dig into that just a little bit more. I don't see Vinny, but if I had to name this one, it'd be follow me. I don't mean me. I mean Jesus said follow me. So I want to go there, and I want to show you something, how the disciples, you know, I don't know how you do life. I don't know how you navigate life. I'm just talking about the six and sevens. I'm talking about when you're out of church. Everybody can put on a little smile when we're in church, and we can put on a little Christian face. But how do you navigate when you ain't it funny how, now I don't, what do you want to say this for? Isn't it funny how you can smile and praise the Lord when you're in church, and when you get outside the doors, you can almost spit and cuss? Well, we don't cuss, Pastor John. I said almost. Because you get so overwhelmed and so frustrated and so full of anxiety and so full of uncertainty. So, you know, if I'm going to settle down, I need to learn how to settle down. I need to learn look where to settle down. I need an example on how to settle down. I need an example on how to walk out my faith when things are not working. So, you know, and Jesus is our model. Praise God. So, do you go to the Bible for help? Or where do you go? Don't say it out loud. I just want, where do you go for help? Now, when I say look inwardly, some of us do just look to ourselves, and that's our problem. Because we feel so inadequate and so insufficient. We're not enough. So when I say look inward, I am talking about a deep inward truth. You remember me saying a couple weeks ago, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. A lot of us can't experience life because we won't deal with truth, and we're certainly not going to look to Jesus to think he's the way because he sounds too ancient to us. Looking to Jesus, you know what you're afraid of sometimes is your image. You're afraid you're going to look like some kind of Looney Tune Christian, and you're going to come under great persecution because, you know, it's just if Christians have this, they disengage their brain and they just have this belief in Jesus and it doesn't apply anywhere. You know, you've been around some people who you feel intimidated by and you wouldn't say you was a Christian because you didn't want them to think that you, whatever. Let me show you what Jesus said to his disciples at a very dark time in their life, okay? Father, I just stop right now and bow my head and bow my heart and say, Lord, Father God, your word is always anointed. I don't have to pray and ask you to anoint your word. Your word is always anointed. My God, I'm asking that you would anoint your people. I'm asking for people that are here, Lord, that can hear what you say. They don't have their mind on me and on the messenger, but on the message. Maybe they can ignore me and go to the message. My God, we want to just open up the ears. Let your seed, let your word find a lodging place in our hearts so that it'll take root and make a difference in our lives. I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So praise the Lord. So when I think of looking upward and inward, I want to come back to that and just dig into it just a little bit more and just get a little more, if you would, we can get some more depth out of it. We can get some more clarity. I tell you, beloved, it's going to be real important as we continue going forward with our days. This year will be a year. And so it's important that you know who you are. You know what foundation you're on. You say, well, you're just pushing that religious belief. Now, let me help you with something. If you're not founded on a foundation, I'll tell you, you can very well be washed away. I tell you. You can get so confused that you don't even know what you believe anymore. Some of you already may be there. You may not know what you believe when it comes to different issues and circumstances. So understand something. I want to help you find a foundation or something that you can put a meat hook in if you want to, or build a block on. It'd probably be more accurate. So I want to help you with that. So let's look to what the Lord says about it. I want to start in John chapter 21, and I want to read you some scriptures here, and then I'll just stop and talk a little bit about this. I want you to see something. I want you to catch it, if you will, with the help of the Lord. So you'll have to pay attention to what we read. Now, Jesus had just appeared to his disciples this after his resurrection, and he's appeared to them twice. And so, and he's about to appear to them the third time, but the second time, he just finished a conversation with Thomas. Thomas said, even though he's standing there looking at him, he said, I don't even believe that's you unless I can touch. Let me touch your hands. Let me touch your side. And of course, Jesus said, well, here, come and touch, which, you know, you can touch. And then he said, oh, my God. I know Gary said in Wednesday night class, they don't know why they call him Doubting Thomas, because when he touched, he said, my Lord and my God. He believed. I don't think Thomas ever doubted again, do you? He wasn't no Doubting Thomas. He's just like, I can't hardly believe my eyes. I mean, you know, well, honestly, sometimes, you know, it's a little hard to conceptualize. You're kidding. I watched them kill you. There's no way this can be. And so, but he did. And so then it says in verse 1, and after this, Jesus revealed himself again to disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Well, let's talk about the way he did it. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. You ever felt like, you know what? Just, I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I'm going fishing. Let's go do something. This is just, You know, and they said to him, well, you know what? Hey, we're going to go with you. Yeah, that's a good thing. Let's go fishing. They went out and they got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I want you to think about this. You know, sometimes we ought to reconsider when you've been out fishing all night and you have caught nothing. Would you consider changing your prayer life just a little bit? Would you stop and reconsider that you're just trying to do everything your way and there's no fruit to it? If there's no fruit to it, come on, wake up and smell the coffee. I mean, if there's no, you know, we're talking about the Waymaker. We're talking about Jesus. Here's the real deal. We get frustrated and say Christianity don't work. Well, I don't even want to say Christianity. The Word don't work. The life of God don't work in my life. And it's the fact of the matter is you keep coming the same way. You keep wanting to do things your way. And I tell you what God wants for us. He wants you to come to a place where you be willing to say, you know what, Lord, I'll do this your way. I don't know what that way is yet, but I'll do it your way. But if you keep on, beloved, you can fish all night and not catch nothing. And you're a fisherman. You know how many times I've heard people say, I don't understand why I can't find work. Do you know I can do 52 things and I'm good at all of them? Yes, I believe that. But I tell you what, when God's blessings ain't on something, I don't care if you can do 152. If God don't open doors for you, beloved, I tell you, it don't matter to me how talented you are. It won't happen, Captain. It don't happen because God's blessings need it. And so here they learn something. Oh, they're going to go fishing. I guess you're just going to go back. Y'all can read the scriptures, but just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. That's always interesting to me. How can disciples see him so many times and not know it's him? Well, beloved, do you know, can you see him clearly in your heart and in your spirit? There's times Jesus is trying to speak to you and you say, was that the Lord or was that the devil? Well, I can tell you one thing. The devil ain't going to speak to you to do something good. I promise you that. He ain't going to have you do anything that has anything to do with the Word of the church, beloved, or the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's move on. You got it, didn't you? So it's daybreak, and Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? I don't think he makes fun of people, but I tell you one thing, he'll make you think, won't he? Let's count all you boys. How many fish was on the boat? Not one of y'all got a bite. You didn't even get a nibble. Come on, boys. You know, I know he didn't say that, but it's there, isn't it? I'm not adding nothing to the word, but I can just imagine, you ain't getting nothing? Oh, fisherman of all fishermen, you didn't catch nothing either? I didn't even get a bite. Children, do you have any fish? And I answered him, no, and he said to them, well, then cast your net on the right side of the boat. Now, they didn't pull the nets in, beloved. Y'all heard this preached before. This ain't what I'm wanting to preach, but I do want to show you some things till I can get to my message. Put it on the other side of the boat. Now, you know, anybody in their right mind said, no, hold on a minute. The boat ain't but 25 feet wide, and you want me to cast the net on the other side? I mean, come on. I mean, it won't the fish swim over the net 25 feet? I mean, come on. Now, they didn't say all that, but listen to me. It's there, isn't it? We done pulled our nets in. We done cleaned our nets. I mean, we're going to shore. I mean, we ain't caught none. I mean, it's day breaking. And Jesus said, we're casting that on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple who Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter. Now, that disciple, you know, is John. John don't like to call himself John. He just likes to tell Peter all the time, the disciple that Jesus loves. The disciple that he loved, he said, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment. I guess, I don't know what that means. I ain't never heard of fishing in your underwear, but he put on his outer garment and because he was stripped for work and threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards, or y'all know how to do math, or about 300 feet off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, won't you bring some of the fish that you have just caught, and that you just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, and full of large, 153 of them all. I guess why the Lord wanted to maybe just inspire John to write down the number is because 153 don't fit in that net. But the net didn't break, and 153 large, I don't know what large. If the Bible says large in the Greek, I bet that's pretty big. Large fish. They're probably not the bigger net, but here's my point. I just like to know right here, where did Jesus get his fish? Where did Jesus get his fire? Where did Jesus get his charcoal? Where did Jesus get his bread? You know, you underestimate the Lord if you're not careful. By navigating everything in the natural without any consideration of looking to the Bible for help. When you look to the Word for help, I tell you, it'll give you inspiration. It'll challenge your faith. It'll challenge you personally. So here I just want to point out, it did not say he laid down his Zippo and got over there and gutted that fish and cleaned it and threw it. Where did he get the frying pan? I didn't see his backpack anywhere. Do you understand? I just want you to consider what you read and what you hear. Jesus can do anything that he wants to do. He's not bound by anything or anybody. I love that about the Lord. That inspires me when I go to the smartest that I know and they can't tell me how to navigate my life. We ain't never heard of that, John. What in the world? How did you get yourself in that mess? You ever been over your head financially? Well, probably just me, none of the rest of you. But when you're over your head financially and you go to the Lord, I just tell you, oh, you think God's going to strike me a check? No. No. I'll tell you why God's not going to strike me a check. Because God, he wants to teach me how to strike my own check. Do you understand that? Do you know God wants to help you through your turmoil where you at? You keep saying, make it move. I said it last week. I said it again. Because I tell you, God is just pouring that into my spirit. You don't want to deal with difficulties, and God wants you to deal with them. He wants you to deal with them intelligently. He wants you to deal with the power and inspiration of the Word of God. Because Jesus, listen to me, if we're going to hide in the church and we don't know how to deal with anything, we don't know how to deal with anything, but let me just tell me what we're going to do. Get everybody come in here and hide with us? No, no, no. I tell you, we're going to go into the world and we're going to tell them what Jesus can do for them and how Jesus can help you. How Jesus can help you in a dysfunctional marriage. How Jesus can help you with finances. I tell you, he can help you manage finances. You got to learn he's a way maker. Not one that makes things go away. He's a way maker. You got to understand I need help with the way. So here he is, and he's a provider. He can do anything. Do you understand? Why would I have hope? I tell you why I have hope. Here's the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he can say, hey, y'all catch any fish? Hey, is your life fruitful? Are you happy where you're at? Hey, is things going well with you? Well, if not, won't you come up here? Won't you eat some of my fish? Hey, it's interesting to me that, again, Peter, this is a little side note. Y'all do know that Peter was standing in a charcoal fire barrel, warming his hands, when the servant girl said, hey, ain't you one of the disciples? No, not me. I believe I seen you somewhere before them. I said, not me. He even begins to cuss about it. I said, y'all thought I was going to cuss. I'm not. It ain't me. Three times, warming his hands by charcoal fire. Think about that. Now Jesus has got Peter back at a charcoal fire. Let's read on. Here we are. So won't you come and eat some fish? 153 of them. Although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Isn't that just like the Lord? You know, most of us would be beating ourselves up right now. We would never think that the Lord wants us to come and have breakfast with him when we don't deserve to have breakfast with him because we hadn't been long denied him. And we not only denied him, we denied him three times just like he said we would do. And so, you know, and he asked Peter, so now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Well, duh. I don't know that I'd have to ask by this time. And they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them and so with the fish. Now, this was now the third time that Jesus revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I want to keep going because I want to process something with you. Let's keep processing. The Word will process with you. The Word will deal with the matters of the heart and the human spirit. So let's keep going. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, and then feed my lambs. Now he's processing with him. I guess he done got mad. I was going to leave. I don't know. But obviously Jesus had to instruct Peter, won't you feed my lambs? And he said to him a second time, son, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. It's one thing to feed a lamb. It's another thing to tend the sheep, isn't it? If you're going to tend sheep, you're going to have to get where the sheep is at. I mean no disrespect, but in our day and culture, some pastors want to, I don't want to talk about pastors, but it's hard to tend sheep. They don't mind feeding sheep, but you have to tend yourself, you know. And so I don't want, there's two kinds of churches in the world. We heard this from a guy by the name of Henry Cloud. There's two kinds of churches. One church is very structured. I'm just talking about general here. Very structured, and you have to fit into their pattern. You understand? They have a lot of rules. Nothing wrong with rules. They have a lot of regulations. Nothing wrong with regulations, okay? I mean, you know, and so if you're going to fit into that church, you have to go along with that church culture. The disciples are probably, the deacons are probably pretty hardcore, hard-nosed. And listen, it's our way or the highway, and it's your choice, you know. And you girls, y'all may have to be pretty quiet. And it's very structured. Then there's another kind of church. It's a hurting church. It's a healing church. Now, in the healing church, to join that church, the requirement is that you're screwed up. You're hurting. You need help. And so, now that may not, it may look like it's a loosey-goosey church, but I tell you, if it's a healing church, because in the other church, you might be asked to leave pretty quick, and you're hurting. And you're desperate, and you're confused, and you didn't know how to fit in. You know, and you don't know how. Listen, when you're hurting, it's hard to get up, ain't it? It's hard to, and then sometimes we just fake it till we make it. But to fake it ain't working, you know? And so you really don't make it. So the hurting church, you know, and see here Simon Peter has been hurting. And Jesus asked him three times. Do you find it interesting that he would ask Peter three times? We've heard this before, this teaching here before, that he asked him three times. Well, he denied him three times. Then he made him answer three times. I don't know. It didn't say that, but there it is. Three times. He didn't ask him a fourth. He didn't ask him twice. He didn't ask him once. He asked him three times. While he was sitting by, in other words, he brought him back into where he was at. And Do you love me? Three times, do you love me? It's funny because I think Peter, you know, he was like some people you meet that, you know, they're just full of themselves. Dun, 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 dun. I'm Mr. Christian. And, you know, and I will never, ever do anything. It's just you're full of self-will and self-pride. Nothing's broken. There's no humility. You ever met anybody like that? Some of you have. Well, get ready if you hadn't, because someday you might. And so Peter's just full of himself, and now here's the Lord's feeding him breakfast. And isn't it, when you're broken, beloved, I wish you would. When you're brokenhearted and you're broken, I know you want to fix yourself before you take yourself to the Lord to present yourself to Him so He'll be proud of you, but He already knows you're broken. What you don't know is that you're broken. You think He don't know because you keep hiding from your brokenness. But I tell you, if you bring your brokenness to God, I tell you, and you'll sit right there and you'll eat breakfast with Him. How about if I do that? How about if we break a little bread together? How about if we have just a little bit of communion? I tell you, listen, He'll speak life into that thing. He can resurrect. He can bring you. He can even redeem your past. Isn't that beautiful? You done made so many mistakes. My God, you don't even know where to start. If you'd come in brokenness. Listen, when you're broken, that's when you need to come to Him. I know you want to. I've heard so many people say, oh, as soon as I get my life together, I'm thinking about going to church. You'll probably never go to church. You'll never get your life together. And when you get it together, who does the measuring? Because your togetherness may not make the mark. You don't know what you're getting together. Why don't we just conceptualize that Jesus is the answer, Jesus, and I tell you, and listen to what Jesus says. Now, I just want to continue because Jesus has got so much more depth here, and I want you to get it. I want you to read it for yourselves, okay? I thank God that He's deep, don't you? I thank God that Jesus is spiritual, don't you? And you're off the hook. You don't have to walk under that yoke of thinking that you need to be spiritual, because I tell you, He is spiritual. He is spiritual. So let's go on just a little bit more. So we asked, do you love me? And so then I'm going to pick back up. The third time, He said, feed my sheep. And then in verse 18, He says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young. Now listen, Jesus is about to prophesy over Peter. How'd you like this prophecy? Jesus said, when you was young, you used to dress yourself and you walked wherever you wanted to. But when you were old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. What's all that mean? It means this, He said, to show by what kind of death He was to glorify God. Did you hear that? Jesus is telling him, they're going to kill you, boy. They're going to stretch your hands out. They're going to take you where you don't want to go. That's not what we want to hear. No. Talk about the money. Talk about the new home. Talk about the Cadillac. Don't be talking about no death. What in the world? What kind of church is this? My God. Get me over in the prosperity lane, you know? Well, let me just tell you. He told Peter that when they do that. And after saying this, He said to him, follow me. Now, what I want you to understand is what will help you. I don't care where you're at this morning. What will help you is to follow Him. Follow Him. You see, your disruption, you think is so disruptive that it's almost to destroy you. But what you don't know is it's going to catapult you into the supernatural if you would let it. You think it's disruption. You think it's dysfunction. And God, if you would look to the Lord, I'm telling you, you say, well, I've been looking to the Lord. Well, keep looking to the Lord. Don't quit looking. Don't get distracted, because you can't look for 30 minutes. This is not popcorn in the microwave. And look away and say, well, it didn't work. I didn't try it. I tried that thing for 15 solid minutes. And if God can't answer something in 15 minutes, then I tell you what, it must not be God. Okay, you hang on to that one. Peter turned and saw, and isn't this just like us? Peter then turned and he saw the disciple. Well, let me read it, because the one who had been reclining, the disciple who Jesus loved, falling them, the one who had been reclining, we're talking about John again, at the table to him, and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Ain't that funny? The Lord tells you to follow Him, and what do you do? What about them? Have you seen that church? My God, I wouldn't go to that church. You hear, what about them? What about they don't serve you? You know, how many people you ever heard, I wish we could find a church where people really love Jesus? Well, can I ask you a better question? Do you really love Jesus? If you really love Jesus, why don't you be the first one? If the church is screwed up, you are talking about yourself. You do understand you're part of the church, right? I mean, I quit trying to say stuff. I used to say, well, the whole church is going to hell now. But, well, oh, really? Does that mean you too? I quit saying them things. I'm telling you, the Lord has corrected me. He's corrected somebody. You know what? It's a funny thing, isn't it? Ain't it funny how, and here Peter's saying, what about him? I'm going to die. What about the one that is supposed to love you so good? Let's read on. You don't know how Jesus feels about stuff like that? Yeah, let me tell you, let me show you what Jesus thinks about some of them remarks. So let's just look at it. Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Why are you so worried about your neighbor? And then he said again with an exclamation point, you follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not going to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? I said, it kind of run like wildfire. Hey, John ain't going to die. Peter, however, they're getting ready to kill that boy. But we better hang on to John. Yeah, I'm a John disciple now. Yeah, it's funny. You know, we do that in the church, and we do that to each other. We ought to learn from the Lord, haven't we? What about this? Why don't we get real personal? You want help, and you want to. Why don't we get real personal? Why don't you pay close attention to you and to him? Why don't we do that? And so, because I tell you, it'll help you because you won't have feelings. Do you know how many people? Oh, let me be a little better than that. Do you know how close you have come yourself to quit going to church because of other people? Only you know that. Now, do you know how many people has quit going to church because of the people? I know good, solid, I don't know how to say that because it don't fit, Bible-believing people who don't go to church because they say they don't want to go with a bunch of hypocrites. I say, so stay at home, cleanse you of all your hypocrisy. If I stay at home, I'm not a hypocrite. You know, I've said that before, and I have to say it again, because some of you sometimes get so fed up, you're ready to quit already, and church is God's idea. The church is the Lord's. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, there may be a lot of pressure on churches right now, and there may be more to come. But I tell you what, if you're going to make it, if you're going to navigate, you're going to have to take these words and make them your own. You follow him. You don't quit. You worry about, don't you worry about them. You follow me is what Jesus said. So let me go just a little bit more. Oh, my goodness. Isn't this good? Praise the Lord. If you don't think the scriptures is good, your wood is too wet. The scriptures are good, beloved. The scriptures are the scriptures. I don't care where you come from, there's scriptures. So you follow me. So they had this, they spread this about that disciple wasn't going to die. Jesus said, that ain't what I said, but if it remains my will that he remain until I come. And 24 says this, this is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also, now this right here should encourage you, there are also many other things that Jesus did. And were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that it would be written in. That's a lot of books. That's a lot of books. What are you saying? Listen, you can go there. Some people believe if they can't find it there in words, you know, let me just do one. This is just a crazy one. It's a crazy one, but it's an elementary one. But, you know, if they can't go there and find out, thou shalt not smoke, then it ain't there. I'm just grab one. Listen, we could grab anything, but I'm just telling you this. I tell you the scriptures are true. God, there's about 44 miracles in the New Testament. And out of them 44 miracles, you can see all kinds of things that the Lord said that would open you up to all kinds of inspiration if you would let the Word of God lead you and guide you into the inspiration that it says. You know, can you have faith for your friends? Well, four friends sent a friend down through the roof and Jesus healed them. And the Bible said that the reason Jesus healed him was because the faith of his friends. But you know what? We already shut ourselves down. No. We ain't going to pray for no friends. You know what? They're going to do the best they can. I mean, you know what? I'm telling you right now, it looks like me. God's shaking them over here with a rotten stick. I don't know what to tell them. Your faith, you can pray for your friends, beloved. And I tell you, God will listen to your prayer. So what do I, as I process this and the inspiration that is there, that I know Jesus is not bound by them boys fishing. I love that. I love that because Jesus has resources of his own. Jesus, you can tap into the Lord. Listen to me. And you say, well, I tap there, but it's more than your bank account. It's more than your, and I know, listen to me, it's more than your marriage. It's more than you knowing how to parent. It's more than you knowing how. I tell you, God wants to complete you and make you whole. Listen to me. The difficulties that you are going through, they very may well be ordained by God to make you pray and seek him. Because if he don't bring you under, I don't know, I'm not saying God brings you under, but if life don't bring you under some dependency on him, you won't go there. Some of you already testified to me. You're older now and you have never, ever experienced anything like you're experiencing now. Well, that's kind of odd, isn't it? Hadn't you lived more than 40 years or 50 years or 60 years or do the years? And here you are finding yourself, you're more lost today than you ever been. Oh, my God, I know there's a Jesus in the sky, but I tell you, what am I supposed to do? I tell you, the Lord has his hand on you, beloved. The Lord has his hand on you. God knows how to train you. God knows how to develop you. God knows what your faith is lacking. God knows what your life is lacking. And God knows, listen to me, and he wants to help you do it. We just want him to do it. It'd be easier. You know, sometimes I have to go have difficult, conversations with people, and I wish that the Lord would go do that. Listen, I'll just preach the gospel. You go tell them whatever. But sometimes, I draw up sometimes now because of my own experience. When people say, Pastor John, can I talk to you for a minute? And will you tell the truth? I think, I love you. I hate we getting ready to part. Because I know you're getting ready to get mad. I can't win. I'm not going to win if I tell you the truth. And it's not my truth. Can I? And here's what I do. And listen to me. If I'm ever counseling with you, and some of you have counseled with me. I mean, I'm not a professional counselor. I would be a biblical counselor because I'll take you to the Bible. I just say, you know, this is what the Bible says about it. And you know, I've had people say, "Well, I don't believe that like that." What? I'm done then. I mean, what do you say? So, anyway, let's move off of me. This ain't about me. So here, the Lord, he's dealing with a broken man like Peter and the other disciples too, and he brings him back, and he brings him to church, and he feeds him. You got to understand something. The Lord is not here to kick your teeth in. The Lord is here to minister. I tell you what the Lord will do. He'll lift you up. Some of the churches, sometimes we're not perfect either. We make mistakes. And sometimes, you know, if we get up in pride, we may say things that we probably shouldn't say, pastors. But honestly, I tell you what Jesus would do. Here's what always bugs me. It always bugs me. You know, if the Holy Spirit keeps dealing with you, why would I leave you? I've had people, and you probably have too, say some pretty hard things to me. And I was like, okay. I mean, and you know, when you get offended and your feelings get hurt, you just want to back away from that person. No problem. Hey, I tell you what, you go your way and I'll go mine. But I tell you what bothers me, and it should bother you. If the Holy Spirit is still dealing with that person, you might not want to go too far away. Would you be willing to go back? Even though they took a chunk out of your hide, you didn't take a chunk. They meant you harm. They really meant to shut you down and shut you up. But if the Holy Spirit, my God, if the Holy Spirit don't give up on them, we should never give up on them, should we? If you're in a healing church, now if you're in a pharmaceutical church, yeah, we'll just say, to hell with you. You know, off to hell you go. You'd be okay. If you can't do it our way, hit the highway. I mean, you know churches are like that. And we do that because we're going to preach the word and we're going to stand on the word. But the Lord is still out there with the one that he left the 99 and he going to get the one. What are we, how are we going to preach that? Jesus is cramping our style here at our church. So maybe Jesus ain't. Well, we would never say that. My God. So let me tell you. Let me show you something. Okay. I wanted you to see this. I wanted you to see Jesus ministering to the disciples who forsake him, who left him, who ran, who hid. Even one denied him three times. I wanted you to see Jesus in his heart here. And he not only just, he could have just come ashore and said, you know, hey, done. I'm the Son of God. Come all ye. Whatever. He could say 100 things, but he goes there, he fixes them, he ministers to them. He knew they was hungry, they didn't feast all night, and he ain't getting nothing. And he ministers to them, and warm by the fire, eat some fish, bring some of your fish. And then, do you love me? Then you're going to have to get your mind on what my mind's on, and it's the sheep. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And so you see that. Now, so, but Pastor John, I knew you was going to say this somewhere, somebody in their mind, but we're not fishermen. And what we're going through right now, we didn't deny Jesus. And we didn't run. We're here, but what we don't know is society. I hate that every time you turn on your TV, you hear yet another thing. I don't know. I hear so many things now, and I'm sure you do. I'll tell y'all what your pastor does, okay? I guard my heart. I guard my heart. I'm not naive. I don't stick my head in the sand, but I guard my heart. Because if I don't, guys, I would get afraid. You know, I heard this big thing, how they're shutting pastors down, how they actually are locking some of them up. There's $10,000 fines for having church. I mean, and to be honest with y'all, I'm like, what? I mean, do you realize they could? I mean, come in here. But what are you doing? So I know that's going on in the world. It's going on in other cities. They'll block the road. They won't let them in. They'll block highways. They'll block. I just tell you, persecutions come. Persecutions here, and then if it's not, then it's racial, and then it's COVID, and then it's. I can hear all that too. I just tell you what I do. You know, Jesus has been real clear to guard my heart. If I don't, I become very troubled. How do I guard my heart? You know, I recognize what really is going on. And I've asked the Lord, you know, to help me understand how to navigate through these navigable waters. And I know this by the Lord. I wish I could tell you, I would feel good and I'd be a little prideful. And if I could tell you, 2021, guys, y'all get ready because here's what we're going to do. God told me. So we're going to go down here to the left. And when we take it left, the light is going to be bright. Anyway, y'all got it. But I don't know. Here's what I do know. He's a cloud by day, and he's a fire by night. And I tell you, it's in our history book, if you want to. It's in the inspiration. It's in the book of human spirit and matters of the heart that if you would look to me, I'm a cloud by day, I'm a fire by night, and you can follow me today. Now, I know that don't, for people who are control freaks, maybe I shouldn't say freak, for people who are control persons, that right there really freaks them out. What? Today, I need to know, you know the end of the month is coming? He didn't say nobody. Yeah, you can follow him today. And then you can follow him tonight. And in the morning you can get up and praise the Lord and rejoice and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'll follow him today. What if he ain't saying nothing? Well, then just stay still. It's real simple. Just stay still. Why you keep trying to produce something you can't give birth to, beloved? Stay still. It's okay. It's okay. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and they're not going to faint. Can't you wait and wait in faith? I don't mean just sit on your fist and grab back on your thumb. Wait in faith. And so, but what do we do? I tell you, I want to show you one little thing before I dismiss. So, the prophet Habakkuk, I want to take you that. It's in the Old Testament. And all of this Old Testament here is for our examples, remember? It's for our examples. Now, this won't be long, so stay with me. Don't check out on me. Come on back from the Walmart. They'll be there when we get out. Come on back. Get back with me. There's about three chapters here, and what's interesting is Habakkuk began to seek the Lord, and the Lord told Habakkuk, and I won't read it all for the sake of keeping your attention. I won't read it all. So, and he said, thus saith the Lord. I'm about to do a new thing. Now, that sounds good, except I'm going to send the Chaldeans in. They're going to tear you apart. Yeah, they're ruthless. I'm going to send them. Could you imagine being the prophet of God? You're going to do what? Yeah, I'm going to scatter you. You're going to be scattered. Well, Habakkuk fell into deep prayer and fasting, but it didn't change God's mind. The Chaldeans come just as God said it was going to come. And the Chaldeans, and there's a new order. Now, beloved, I don't know what's coming ahead, and I'm not saying prophesying. I'm not prophesying, so y'all stay with me. I'm not prophesying that there'll be a new order, but there could be. And when that new order comes, I tell you one thing. Don't you spill your milk and lose your cookies, okay? Hang on. I tell you, whatever comes, I want you to be a steady Freddy and a stable Mabel, because I want you to have heard what thus saith the Lord. So let me fast forward. So God told him that, and he prayed, and you can read this. Just three chapters, to be sure. You could do that this week. Just you can read. He prayed, God said. And now, and here's Habakkuk again. It's the end of Habakkuk. This is what I'd like for you to leave with. If you slept through the first part, can you let this be your takeaway? Maybe I shouldn't say sleep, but you know, I can look at some people sometime, and I remember I used to do this too, because I didn't ever want the pastor to think that I wasn't listening to him. But when I'm there, I just. But if you ask me what he said, I don't know. But I tell you what, I didn't take my eyes off of him. And I think what I heard is, But if I had to tell you I didn't know. But when they started asking me, I started trying to hang on to something. So it would look like, I asked Rebecca. She says, I get to pick on her because, you know, she's our baby girl now. And so, what'd you like about it? Yeah, did you like the service day? Yeah, it was good. What'd you like about it? I know you was going to say that. So, but listen to this, beloved. Habakkuk has done, I want you to see what he did. I want you to see what he did, and it worked extremely well for him. After God had said what was coming, You see, he didn't turn it away, even though Habakkuk prayed. He didn't turn the adversity or the persecution or the trouble away. But it came anyway. And here's what Habakkuk said. And I'd love for you to take this home with you. It's just three little verses. He said, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. Whew, good night. And the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Wow. That's pretty much their provision, isn't it? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, and God, what do you think would happen if you used to take your joy in the Lord? What if you got focused? Really, you can do that. You can do that. Beloved, you can do it because some of you have focused on your futures and you give your life for 50 plus years to a career. I know you can do it if you'll get focused. You've done everything for the man. You understand? You have paid prices. And listen to me, you worked your fingers to the bone when you're so tired. My dear God, you didn't think you could put one foot in front of the other. And what did you do? You got up and you kept going. I know you can do it. You can do it. You have done it. You've done proved it. A lot of people think, you know what, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. Well, maybe there's some truth to that. And I'll tell you, some of you have put your minds to some things, and you did accomplish it, didn't you? I said, amen. Amen. I did it. Yes, I did. Yes, I went to college. Yes, I paid my way. Yes, I worked my fingers to the bone. Yes, I did all that. And that is why I have what I have. Yes, I did. Well, I'm telling you, beloved, if you will, if you get your mind on God, I tell you and keep your mind on God, you can do it. It's in you, beloved. You done proved it. So anyway, I get excited when I know it's within realms of possibility. So I want to drive it in the ground, break it off. When I get loud, I'm not hollering at you. My Lord. Sounds like I'm talking at you. Somebody said that this morning. Kevin, I'm not talking at you. I'm talking with you. Kevin had to help his wife. She was talking at him. Angie, talk with them. You probably will not tell me stuff. I might use it on the pulpit. But listen, I'll take my joy in the God of my salvation. And God, the Lord, is my strength. And listen what he does. And he makes my feet like the deer. The deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Well, if you didn't know that, how would you believe that? Did you know if you could get, and you, oh, no, if, take that word out. It ain't no if about it. If you would get focused, beloved, I tell you, God would begin, you know, I was talking to many, I'm going to throw you under the bus here. I was, praise the Lord, she loves me, I'm going to test it. Praise God. I'll test it. We were talking about how life can be much different for people out of the church. And they're on the streets and they live under bridges. And yes, and all of that's true. Yes and amen. You know, and people, some people are hooked on all kinds of things because they don't know how to deal with life. And yes, and that's true. I mean, it's true. But here's what I want to say. But we can't look back at the church. You know, we were just talking. She was in agreement with me. She wasn't arguing with me. We can't look back at the church and say, oh, y'all live in a bubble. Yeah, we know we live in a bubble. You know who put the hedge around us? My God, God said, if you will do it, I'll put, listen, you say, would you prove that to me? Yes, I will. So when the devil goes up and he says, and God says, if you considered my servant Job, why don't you try him? And God said, if you take that hedge, the devil said, if you take that hedge down, I'll make him curse you. Well, let's do that. The hedge. So, yes, beloved, you know what? We're not goody-two-shoes. Sometimes we live in the hedge. Now, I do think we need to live. We're protected, according to the Bible, by a hedge. You say, well, I can't see my hedge. I understand. But you don't realize if God, like we were talking, if God was to take his hand off of you, I tell you, your circumstances, oh, beloved, things could change for you before the day is over. And one day, Job lost everything. Now, listen, it's just consider. That's all I'm telling you. Praise God, there's a hedge. Praise God, and praise God. You know what? Though all of these things, now you do your own list. You can do your own list. You know what? I'm going to read it one more time. I know you can hear, but please, just let me do it one more time. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food, the flock are cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I'll take joy in the God of my salvation. Praise God, he saved us. God, the Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like, oh, deer's, and he makes me tread on high places. Praise God. Oh, bless the Lord. Won't you stand to your feet, beloved? Praise God. So, understand something. Beloved, when you go here today and when you have to deal with all you hear, you know, on the news from your friends in the world about the church, about, oh, you know, about politics, about racial issues, about, I don't know, we're going to have this revolution coming now. My God, I tell you what, if I was in the ammunition business right now, whoo, I could rake up, I'd be a rich man for a long. Everybody's looking for a gun. Everybody's looking for ammunition. Well, who knows what's coming? I like what somebody told me when they got COVID. Though the Lord slay me, yet I'll praise him. Praise God. Well, you talk like a crazy man, Pastor John. Maybe I do. But I'll tell you this, not one of us is going to stay here. Every one of us is leaving. We just don't know when. You're leaving. I'm not trying to be foolish here. I'm not telling you to be foolish. If somebody tells you they got COVID, do not go up and kiss them in the mouth, okay? Don't do it. My God. Use some sense about it. I don't care how good looking they are. Use a little bit of sense. You know? So, you know, stay your distance. But here's what I'm saying. We don't ever know the day nor the hour. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to take you past current events. And let's get ready for the eternity. It's coming, beloved. Eternity is coming. We're going to meet him. Praise the Lord. We're going to heaven. One day, we're going, like I said, all the way back March the 15th of last year, my heart breaks. And for people who doesn't have any hope, they don't know the Lord Jesus, and they have no hope. And unfortunately, they can look to the church, and if not careful, they have no hope either. And we do, though, beloved. We do have hope. We do have hope. We have hope. We have plans. We have a future. God is going to sustain us, beloved. Yes. And I tell you what, even if they take me and bind my hands and take me to the place like they told Peter, and Peter said, no, don't crucify me. Turn me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Turn me upside down. My God. And the Lord said, but follow me. Pastor, yeah, follow me to death if that's what it takes. Follow me. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like for you to just consider where you're at. I'd like for you to consider what's going on. Well, let's close with this song. I'd love for you to just, if you would, just take just a minute and one more minute before you leave church. You got, it'll be 168 working hours, and then you got, I don't know how many sleeping hours, but it'll be many hours before you come back. Why don't we take a few more minutes, just one more song, and let's just praise him, and then I'll dismiss, okay? Let's just praise the Lord. So, oh, praise God.